This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is the week for the Jimmies and the Joes.
Thought about taking a little person into the backfield and throwing them over the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, in short yardage situations. Now, there are several issues with this. In that it's not legal at all.
This is a Draft Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get 2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
You can't just sit there and just say, all right, we're just going to throw him over the top. Is this like a read play where you're trying to figure out where he go, where the weak spot is, and then you toss him over?
Yeah. Do you go over center? Do you go over guard or tackle?
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's a read play.
Direct snap.
Talking a sweep?
Draft Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon! Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday and happy draft day to all that celebrate, which is everybody, because this is America.
Holy catfish!
That's right, Steve Rabel. That's right, holy catfish. Mm. I was thinking about this today. We get lost in all of the draft process, like nitpicking guys, where guys are good, what their weaknesses are, what's the best fit for them and the team, coaching. Boy, we forget that this is the biggest day of their lives.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, too.
It is. Yeah. The emotion of it all is super cool. And yeah. Like for everybody that talks about how much they hate Roger Goodell, every single one of those guys loves that guy on that stage.
Yeah, at that time.
Yeah.
At that moment. And he will be getting booed before your name gets called, then there will be cheers, and then they will boo him again.
Yeah.
But that's in that moment,
the cycle.
You are happy with him. The amassed people in Green Bay, Wisconsin, will be happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really awesome thing.
Oh, they'll be really happy for you, don't you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I got the spotted cow.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink that up.
Oh, just going to squeeze right past you here. Yeah.
Get some cheese curds.
Can listen, I get some ranch?
Are they going to have polka music?
They got to have something, right? I mean, are they going to drop a cheese ball on you? It's something.
Maybe. I have the walkout music for the draft prospects.
Oh, you get to pick your own walkout music now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been doing this for a couple of years.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I usually watch it on mute, so.
Gunna is having a big year.
Yeah, of course.
That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm coming out with.
I'm gonna say I don't know who that is.
Oh. Well, you should listen to some Gunna.
Yeah.
I think I only know one song of his.
I think I might have two on my playlist.
But we have 1, 2, 3, 4. Four players are coming out to Gunna.
How much Drake do we have?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kendrick?
Shamar Stewart is coming out to Forever by Drake.
Mm.
Well, you know what?
No Kendrick?
No Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, wow.
No Kendrick Lamar. Not very many West Coast guys at the draft this year.
Fair.
You know, I'm looking, Tetro McMillan, I think might be the only West Coast guy that's out there, and he is coming out to Thank You, Lord, by somebody I don't know.
Oh.
And I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name.
Is it island name?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a gospel, Polynesian gospel.
Okay.
This is what I'm gathering here. Lil Wayne's got two. Right above it, Will Campbell coming out to Lil Wayne. Very Louisiana of him.
I say Louisiana. Yeah.
Travis Hunter's coming out to Let It All Work Out by Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is his buddy. Will be sitting with Travis Hunter.
That's so weird.
In the green room.
That's so weird.
He was at the Heisman ceremony with him.
I know. I mean, Lil Wayne's our age.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Imagine if you had a 21-year-old friend.
Right?
It's weird. I don't care how famous they are. That's weird.
I have one. Yeah, I'll call him a friend.
You're
I coach with him.
You're going to the green room with him?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I mean. It's a little weird.
But I'm going to his wedding?
Sure.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
You're there. You're not there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's one thing for Lil Wayne to go to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get a private little hookup.
Mm-hmm.
Be there. Yeah. For the after party, all that.
But it appears that Lil Wayne is a hanger on to Travis Hunter, which is a weird move.
Yeah, it's super weird.
Yeah.
I don't really understand this.
This one doesn't make sense to me. Rod Wave has two guys coming out to his songs. He's more like R&B, isn't he? Rod Wave. Malachi Starks, Get Ready, and then Cam Ward coming out to Rod Wave. Rod Wave will be the first person that we hear.
I think Rod Wave, he might be a Florida guy.
Yep. Sounds about right. Yeah. The names of guys that are going to be at the draft, though, I don't know if all of them will be drafted today.
Yeah. St. Petersburg.
Do they play the music on day two for you? Like, Jalen Milroe is at the draft. If Jalen Milroe does not get drafted today, is he getting second round walkout music?
I really like how you almost went Jalen Milroe, like you were going full Lil Wayne.
Yeah. No, he's coming out to Rich Homie Quan.
RIP.
Yep. But if he doesn't get drafted, what is he going to do? Is he going to Aaron Rodgers this thing and just sit all day long and then have to come back the next day? Somebody had to do that recently. They had to come back for day two.
Yeah.
Was it Levis?
Maybe.
No, he was just... No, you're right. He was the first quarterback taken in the second round.
Yeah. But there's a couple guys where I'm like, I have not seen you.
Nobody really cared, though, because he brought Duddy back.
What?
His smoking hot girlfriend.
Duddy?
I can't remember her first name. Duddy was her last name.
I have no idea. No. Mm. I was out on him when he said mayonnaise and milk.
I mean...
Or mayonnaise and coffee.
He did get the
second round, 33rd pick.
Yeah.
Mm.
He did get the National Mayo ad for a whole season, or is that 2 years?
I think it is two.
Yeah.
He's been on that, yeah.
I mean, that probably paid him as much as his NFL contract.
But it wasn't Best Food, so it doesn't count.
Mm. What was it? Was it Hellman's?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's Hellman's the same. They're the same brand. Just depends on what side of the country you're on.
Well, it says Hellman's on all the commercials, so it's like Carl's Jr. thing?
Yeah, Carl's Jr. and Hardee's. Yeah. Yep.
I learned that right now from you.
Yeah.
Hellman's and Best Foods are the same thing?
Yeah, you're welcome.
Why don't they just go under one brand?
It's like Albertsons and Kroger now. It's all the same. Or no, I'm sorry.
All the Albertsons are Safeways.
Not Albertsons. Fred Meyer. Fred Meyer's Kroger.
Well, everything is Kroger
now. QFC and...
Well, no, the Albertsons one fell through.
Yeah.
They didn't want a monopoly.
They're all Safeways now.
What? Which is weird.
Yeah. Local grocery store's gone. They're not totally gone, but they are few and far between.
Yeah, we look, the Thriftway in Newburgh comes in handy because it's locally owned with 24-hour service.
See, you got to go small. Yeah, you got to go small town if you're going to have that Thriftway action.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they lost the one in Garden Home like 2 years ago. The one in Wilsonville went away.
I think that was a Garden Home and also the like Cedar Mill.
Yeah, yeah, no, they were different. The Garden Home one was different.
Or was that Lamb's?
Lamb's.
That was Lamb's. Lamb's had the one in Wilsonville, the one in Beaverton.
Garden Home. And then Bales was over by Cedar Mill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are got best bakeries, though. Those Thriftways had the best bakeries.
Oh, my God.
That's where we got our wedding cake. Thriftway.
Yeah, no, there was no better place in like a 200-mile radius to get a wedding cake.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at the one in Wilsonville, and I'd go over there to the bakery, and they had a woman that had been doing it for like 35 years. She was incredible. And I was like, why don't you go somewhere like fancy? Like go to like a crazy expensive cake shop and make a bunch of money. She's like, I just like doing it.
Just passion. Love of the game. Love the game, man.
I would sit there and watch them sometimes. Like, and just be like, this is incredible. I can't draw a stick figure. You know, you're over here like drawing art with Frosting.
Yeah. It looks like they should be on Cake Boss. Remember that show?
Yeah.
What was his name? Buddy?
Buddy Velastro?
You went last name. Yeah. I'm proud of you. Look at the big brain on Russ today. Golly, you're sharp.
Him, and who was the other guy, the big cake dudes? Duff.
All I know is Buddy. Yeah. And all of his cakes looked like they tasted terribly because it was all of, golly.
I'd love to save you here, but I don't know what you're going for.
Fondant. Yeah. It's and that stuff is not good. No, and he'd just plaster the cake with it. Yeah, it would look okay, but it was just like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
By the way, Duff Goldman.
Sure, yeah, Duff Goldman.
I'm a
Duff man.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of right there. I was going to go Barney from The Simpsons. No, I'm much more of a Great British Bake Off or Bake Show. Yeah, that's my jam.
Man, all right. Well, we got a lot of people talking grocery stores that have closed down, and bring back the old school grocery store. Margins are ridiculously
non-existent,
though. Yeah. This is a big one. This is a big one too. A lot of those small town, grocery stores, they also have the liquor store grandfathered in.
Yeah,
they got that out in Banks. Yeah, there's Jim's Thriftway.
I'm still not quite sure how that worked out at QFC, but I'm not complaining.
They all got grandfathered in, dude. Mm. It used to be a thing. Not anymore. Like, I remember they used to have, grocery store and movie rentals you could get.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was incredible. You kidding me?
The little tabs.
Yeah, you could. Albertsons, man. You used to hop on the bike, ride my bike down there, and go rent a movie.
Yeah, these kids just don't know anymore. Mm. All right. Well, let's get to the NFL draft. We got a lot of draft stuff that we got to get to today.
Oh, no, we don't.
It's going to be a wild draft because the one thing that tells me it'll be just bonkers, every single newsbreaker in the NFL is dead silent right now.
Either they're sitting on something or they got nothing because everybody's buttoned up shop.
And the last thing that all of them have said is that people are willing to trade up and trade down because every single team has got their pick in the first round. So there's going to be teams that are willing to wheel and deal. I'm here for it.
Makes it interesting.
Freaking go. We got a lot of NFL draft stuff that we need to get to today. The NBA playoffs continued last night. And boy, oh boy. We got some physical series between the Rockets and the Warriors. And the other two games were, except for the comments coming out. All three of the games last night had some spiciness.
Yes, they did.
To come out of it. So we got NBA playoffs to get through. But where we got to start, the NFL draft starts in 4 hours, 46 minutes, and 55 seconds from right now, according to ESPN. Hmm. So I'm going to take their word for it. They're airing that draft. Trades are going to be all over the place. Which teams are going to be jockeying for the most position? We're already starting to get the nuggets being dropped by the newsbreakers early this morning. Will we see it actually happen? Danny and Dusty on the Fan. NFL draft right around the corner, about a little over 4.5 hours away from the first pick going off the board. It will be Cam Ward, former Coug, Miami Hurricane, incarnate word, whatever they are. What is?
I got nothing for you.
It's a bird.
They're just the word.
It's a bird of some sort.
The bird is the word?
I don't know. But the three college quarterback, there's going to be
more of those.
What do you got?
Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I like a good Cardinal.
That's good.
I mean, incarnate word, Cardinal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it works. It has almost it's teetering on alliteration there.
I mean, they churched it up a little bit.
Yeah. But Cam Ward is going to be one of what could be two quarterbacks that have played at three different colleges drafted. Because Tyler Shuck went Oregon, Texas Tech, Louisville. Then you have
also Cardinal.
Jackson Dart, who went to two colleges. Mm. I mean, we are in a world of two schools. Going to be your norm.
If Keaton Slovis had figured it out, he would have had, what, four?
Yeah.
Tyler Shuck committed to Oregon in 2017 when Willie Taggart was the coach.
We are going to find out.
Holy
crap. You know what they're going to say about Tyler Shuck today or tomorrow when he's drafted? Tomorrow when he's drafted. They're going to bring out his mom was a high-level softball player.
Oh.
Then we're all be like, oh, no way. Mm. You know?
Kevin Love's from Lake Oswego.
Yeah, he's from Lake Oswego. Mm-hmm. But then you have Shador Sanders, two colleges.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. all these guys are bouncing around.
Yeah, unless you...
Dylan Gabriel, three.
Quinn Ewers,
two. But Texas, Ohio State, back to Texas. Yeah. Like, this is the world that we're going to be living in probably forever with the transfer portal.
What's his name? Syracuse quarterback.
Kyle McCord.
Yeah, McCord.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Syracuse.
Two schools. Yeah.
And a lot of these guys are starting at big schools. That's the thing.
Yeah. And Kyle McCord got run out of Ohio State. And now Will Howard will be another two-school guy, too. Kansas State to Ohio State. Like, this is the world we live in. But anyways, Cam Ward will be the number one pick. It appears, by all accounts, Travis Hunter will be the second overall selection. And then it's a crapshoot, man. Nobody really knows what is going to happen because all of the reports are from, and even Cleveland is willing to listen to the calls and are taking calls, but you are going to see every team willing to move up or down from there on out and see kind of what is going to be available to them because this draft is a little bit weird and it's going to benefit teams that identify their needs effectively. And you can get whatever you want in this draft because it's deep in starters. It's not deep on stars this year.
And if you can maximize that, I mean, that's where good teams shine is their ability to, I mean, the one that I go to is the Raiders a couple years ago under Mayock reaching twice with Farrell and Leatherwood, two players that nobody else in the league had anywhere close to their draft slots. And it set them back years. And if you're not able to, it's not just missing on draft picks. It's value of draft picks and slots and understanding that you're getting the most potential. Like, I don't want to boil this down to the analytics of it all, but it really is. Like, if you look at holistic team building, you have to get X amount of value from Y amount of draft slot. And if you're not getting it in one spot, you have to make up for it somewhere else because the overall talent value of your roster has to reach a certain point. And if you're consistently missing that, which bad teams do because they reach for needs as opposed to getting the best talent crop, you find yourself behind the eight ball, which is why good teams like the Lions and the Eagles and the Chiefs are what they are is because they've just hit. Obviously, quarterback helps, but you just hit home run after home run after home run because you're not reaching.
Well, both of those teams, and you talk about the Eagles and the Lions, they don't have a quarterback that anybody is saying the best or the second best or even the third best quarterback in the league. And you are able to do it because you have serviceable quarterback play and, well, above that, above average quarterback play to, in Jalen Hurts' case, very good quarterback play. In Jared Goff's case, very good quarterback play a majority of the time, a majority of the time, but he has his stinkers that we all see and we know that are still there. But when you support them with talent, dude, they're going to be fine. And that's going to be the fascinating part about this draft for me is that these teams, you have teams that are all going to be willing to move back, but the ones that jump up are the ones that are gambling. Mm-hmm. And there are some teams that you're looking at, like the New York Giants are a great example of this. If they're split at all on Shador Sanders, do not take him.
No.
Take Abdul Carter, and then you can trade whatever you feel necessary to trade to get back into that first round as long as you get the quarterback that, if it's not Shador, if you're split on Shador, then just trade up above 21 where Pittsburgh's going to be and go and find him, right? Or if you love Jackson Dart, trade back into the first round and get your chance to get your quarterback. If that happens, that's successful for the Giants in this draft because you need the best player available, and you have the third pick. There's six guys that they say are going to be stars, right? After that, it's like there's a lot of really good players, but the fit matters tremendously. And if you take out, and it's a big one with Shador Sanders, we talked about this yesterday, but if you take out the fact that we don't know how he is going to handle hard coaching in the NFL because his dad has been his coach literally since high school, actually even before that, but he's been his head coach in high school and then in college. If you take that out of it, and Mike Tomlin is a guy who can handle big personalities, divas, all that stuff very well, Pittsburgh is a great spot for him to go. It is a great spot for him to go because there's stability, there's talent around him.
Highly functional organization.
And him sliding in the draft is not a bad thing for Shedeur Sanders. It's not a bad thing for any of these quarterbacks.
If you're a quarterback, you want to slide.
Yes, because you're going to be put in it. Look at Lamar Jackson. Everybody laughed. Lamar Jackson, 32nd overall. Mm-hmm. Ravens trade back into the first round. They got Lamar Jackson. Well, guess what? Lamar Jackson had a very talented team around him.
Was able to step in and not have everything thrown at his feet like Bryce Young. It got me wondering who's the Bryce Young of this draft. Not necessarily a quarterback, but a player that is just going to be sent to hell because of the state of the organization that is just going to be set up for failure.
Well, that's different because, like, skill guys get it placed on them far more than linemen do. And it just appears that a majority of the dumpster fires are going to more or less stable teams. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the Jets appear just dead set on getting offensive linemen, right? The Panthers are going interior line on the defensive line, by all accounts.
Do you think this
the top two picks are the ones? Yeah. It's Cam Ward and Travis Hunter. Cam Ward is the best quarterback in this draft. I believe it. I still have questions about Cam Ward and his readiness because he is a gunslinger and they've got to make sure they can get through to him.
Do you think those teams, the Jets and the Panthers of the world, that it's this class that is forcing them to do this, or are they learning?
No, it's the class. They're not learning. I like Dave Canales in Carolina, and I think he is a really good coach. But, I mean, that starts at the top there on how dysfunctional they are. I mean, it's a mess there.
Yeah.
But the fits on this, there's going to be some of these guys that they're going to say this draft class is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's wildly unfair. There are teams
guys are gonna pop.
That are going to get absolute studs because of fit. And if you look at, you know, from 17 on down, you know, that back half of the draft where you got playoff teams in there, they are going to get so damn good, right? Like, they are going to hit home run after home run because you're looking at guys. I'll just read. I got Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft up right now. I'll pull that up. His final mock draft. 32, Jahad Campbell goes to the Eagles.
Jesus.
Great fit. 31, Josh Connerly goes to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good place to go.
Okay. 30, Trey Amos goes to the Buffalo Bills. Jahdae Barron goes to the Commanders at 29.
They need one.
Donovan Jackson, an interior offensive lineman, goes to the Lions at 28.
Yeah.
Okay, Kenneth Grant goes to Baltimore.
I mean, that's a pan and glove fit.
Right.
God.
Yeah.
That might be the best of these so far.
Amarion Hampton goes to the Rams at 26. That's a great fit.
It is.
That's a great fit.
I keep thinking about Denver for him, but if I'm Denver, I'd probably look wide receiver.
Well, he has trades in his mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
He has Denver moving up to 13 and getting Colston Loveland. From Miami in a Miami swap, and then Miami gets Malachi Starks at 20. Fits the needs for both of those teams.
Yeah.
They can move up. But then you have Tyler Booker 25 to Houston. Derek Harmon going 24th overall to Minnesota. That's a great fit. Travion Henderson going 22 to the Chargers. I don't see that, but that would be a really good fit to have a check down back, receiving back that can be between the tackles. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, first through third down back. Like, these teams have the opportunity to get great fits for their scheme and their system in the back half of the first round.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting to see just how good those teams do and how bad the bad teams do reaching.
Okay.
I think the story of the draft every year.
There's going to be two pivot points. First one, jockeying for position to get Ashton Jeanty, because it seems like 3 through 6 is kind of where he's going to be. Mm-hmm. But who jumps up to leapfrog? And 6 is kind of his floor because that's where the Raiders are. And the Raiders are sitting there. I guess you could go 3 through 10, because if somehow he makes it past the Raiders, then he's off the board at 10,
yeah,
going to the Bears. But Ashton Jeanty is the first pivot point of movement in the draft. Who's willing to move up? Who's willing to move down?
Leave my Jeanty alone.
The next one is teams willing to move into the first round for a quarterback.
Yeah, that the what
the
is
back
it?
End back, of the draft.
Back 10 picks.
Yep.
To see who slides. And I think that's another story here is what happens with Shador. If he falls out of the top 10, how far does it go?
Well,
20. A team 20. Trying to move in front of Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what, and the two teams that would do that to try to jump Pittsburgh, Cleveland and the Giants. Mm-hmm.
And Denver's picking those two in front teams. Of them, and they've got a quarterback.
They have their guy.
So they can recoup some value there, but do they?
They can't afford to move out of the first round.
Yeah,
though.
That's what I'm saying. Is there a team there that makes sense for them?
I think I saw on one mock draft the Giants moving up to 18. Is that Seattle's pick?
Yeah, that'd be Seattle's
and
pick.
And taking, I think, Sanders there.
Well, hey.
I mean,
Shadour to Seattle.
Would have been the Giants.
Oh, the Giants. Oh, dang. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Giants. Shador to the Giants.
Go with God, my friend.
See, I don't like that fit.
I don't either. That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
Pittsburgh, I like it.
Yeah. Organizational structure.
Well, did they then move
Can you imagine Shador walking into a room with Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson?
I mean, that's
your quarterback room?
Well, if you move up to 18 then what about Jackson Dart?
Jackson Dart, that would, well, I don't know if I'd have, you'd have to move up to 18 to go get him, but sure, if you love him, go get him.
My whole thing with, if you're a quarterback going there, you're going to a team that's very likely going to fire its GM and head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, what, how good do the Giants have to be to not fire both of them? Like this feels like you're just waiting to pull the trigger, because they're not going to be good.
No.
So
no, they're a ways off, but you have to be aggressive in pushing forward towards getting, like, the thing about Dart that I like in New York is that you don't have to play him this year.
Yeah.
You would not have to play him at all this year. And he needs that year. The other thing about this first round is which teams need to be the most aggressive in the first round. Because there's a handful of them, and we talked about a few of them in Cleveland and New York, but which team is it that needs to be the most aggressive to improve their roster this year? Danny and Dusty, here's Rust, SportsCenter. NFL draft coming up 4.5 hours from now, under 4.5 hours. Cam Ward will be the number one overall selection.
Tick, 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 tick.
According to everybody. Which teams need to be the most aggressive on day one of the NFL draft?
It's really interesting, because if you're talking about being the most aggressive, you're talking about the teams that are in the window, and you have a position of need that you have to address. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, what was their issue in the Super Bowl?
O-line play.
I think that's probably, if you're talking about the teams that need to be most aggressive, if there is a game changer in your mind that you can secure and you might have to trade up or give up something to go do it, you need to go do it because you're in a title window.
Yeah, I see them as a team that I don't know if they're going to be that aggressive. They got 4 picks in the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interior defensive line outside of your offensive line that need to be addressed.
And there's depth at both spots, but do you find that there's a clear delineation between...
But if you're at 31...
Mm-hmm.
And you get a call from Cleveland or New York,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, those two teams, I think they have the top 2 picks of the second round.
Yeah, so the Titans don't have one there.
You could be just dropping one spot or 2 spots,
mm-hmm.
and you could still get probably whoever you're going to pick there, yeah. and you'll be okay. But then you can get other assets, mm-hmm. probably another top 100 pick. So then you would have 5 top 100 picks, still get the guy that you would want. Like, I like
in that exact scenario. Yeah,
I like you're where right. you're thinking there. In that, you know, the title window teams, but there's a lot of teams though in the NFL draft. It can be teams that want to enter that window because you look at a team,
the Commanders and Bears.
The Denver Broncos, where you got a young quarterback and you're like, all right, the clock is ticking now. We got four more years with Bo Nix before we have to pay Bo Nix money. How are we going to do this?
Vikings.
Right? Vikings are the same way, and they're like, we need to do it on the cheap, too. Mm-hmm. You've got, for the Vikings, you've got to do it on the cheap because you're paying a lot of money to wide receiver number one and on the defensive side of the ball because you spent a lot of money this offseason. You're like, how do we get better and how do we get better cheap? Do it in the draft. And you don't, for the Vikings, you don't have a ton of holes to fill. For if you are Denver, trading up in getting, you know, the number one wide receiver that you have on your board, mm-hmm. board or a dominant tight end to pair with Bo Nix, yes. If you do love Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland, move up, Denver, because that would be an amazing safety blanket for Bo Nix, who those guys would get their touches. It would balance your offense a lot more. And Denver could be that team that, yeah, I think they need to be. I think Pittsburgh needs to be aggressive too.
They have to get a quarterback.
If that Shadur drop happens and he goes past number nine, they need to work on moving up from 21 so nobody can do the jump in front of them.
Yeah. And that's the opposite side of this coin for me is the Cowboys.
Not a great, don't be aggressive. Don't, like, collect
them. Like with all of the rumors about them being interested in Ashton Jeanty, it just screams Jerry Jones wanting Darren McFadden all over again.
Well, and Jerry Jones said it this week, like they got the wheels in motion for a lot of big moves and trades. And you're going,
if it's not trading Dak Prescott, doing it wrong.
Oh boy. To Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You trade Dak to Pittsburgh for
anything.
George Pickens.
Anything.
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 Just what? If you're willing to pay him, done.
Done.
I don't think Pittsburgh can even do that.
No, I don't think they can either.
Man,
that cap hit is astronomical.
Yeah, it is. That's a bad contract. You're never going to be able to trade that.
Which the whole point of it is like, yeah, you need cheap talent, but you need a lot of cheap talent. You can't be expending assets to go get a player.
I think a team that will be aggressive today is the team that lived by the F them picks rule for several years, and that's the Rams, because they've been really good in the draft.
And they've recouped some picks recently, too.
They have, and they're sitting at 26, and there's been this kind of idea floating that they could be looking at quarterback of the future at 26, which is a great bargaining chip for any of those teams that need a quarterback too, whether it is, you know, Cleveland,
New York,
New Orleans. If those three don't go quarterback in the top 10, they got a good bargaining chip at 26 to be like, look, yeah, you're not gonna be able to jump Pittsburgh, but if you love Jackson Dart, he'll be there at 26 for you. And I think they may be a team that they surprised a lot of people, and they had to turn over their roster because it's getting really expensive and they got a lot of cap hits. I mean, Cooper Kupp is no more. They have Puka Nacua, but you need, I think, running back. And if you can wheel and deal, get some extra assets, get another receiver, get some defensive help and get a running back, do it.
There's one or two guys every year that go in the first round where there's a lot of, I'm sorry, what? Who's that guy this year? Because it feels like because of the way that the depth is.
I don't think that guy exists right now. Unless it's a fourth quarterback.
That's what I was thinking.
If Tyler Shuck goes in the first round, I'd be stunned. No. Or Jalen Milroe, who's at the draft.
Mm-hmm.
If Milroe or Shuck go off the board
in
the first round. Which
means at least enough teams turned in.
Yeah,
that he could potentially. Now,
and it's all about getting a fifth year. That's why you get into the first round and you take that fourth quarterback.
Dicey.
It's ballsy.
That's what you want to pinch it on, huh? All right.
But it's the most valuable position in all of sports.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I thought you were going to say something, Rust. No.
Okay.
One thing that I am going to be really interested in, too, is the Detroit Lions, Washington Commanders, Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Those three teams are this close. And you mentioned Kansas City of that window being open. Nobody's talking about Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is saying a word about Buffalo.
As good as they are, they have holes.
Those three picks, 28 through 30, those are going to be the most important picks to them getting over the hump. In this draft, being as deep as it is, my eye late in that first round.
See what they do.
Yeah, because in trading out, it's so frustrating. Being a New England Patriots fan, it was so frustrating to trade out of the first round. It is so valuable to do.
It's incredibly valuable.
Because unless it's a quarterback, you don't need to roll the dice on that one. Where those teams go in the direction, because they have holes, but they can be filled today and tomorrow. And it can be real quick with the depth of the draft.
I mean, we've seen that and how quick it can swap. I mean, I hate keep going back to this example, but the Eagles were starting two rookies in the defensive backfield. And a third was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of insane when you think about it.
It is. All right, 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Let's go to Fun with Audio today.
Mm.
It is draft day. We talked about this at the onset of the show. These guys, think of the seminal moments of their careers, in their lives to this point, right? The most important part of their lives has been where they go to college. For some of them, because they're so damn old, maybe getting married. But then it's getting drafted and where you go in the NFL. There was a story that has resurfaced from 15 years ago that the people need to hear.
Okay.
A draft day experience. Everybody says it's a day to remember until it isn't. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. The year was 2010. Sam Bradford was the number one overall pick to the St. Louis Rams. And actually, I looked this up. Oklahoma in 2009 went 8-5. Three of the top four picks were Oklahoma Sooners. They had four first-round picks.
Who was on that team?
Sam Bradford went number one overall, Oklahoma quarterback. Then the pride of Grant High School, Ndamukong Suh, went number two to the Lions. But then third and fourth overall, two Oklahoma Sooners, defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and offensive tackle Trent Williams.
Were those guys any good?
Yeah, Trent Williams is 15 years later still
playing
really, really good. And then the 21st overall selection in the draft was tight end Jermaine Gresham, who was also a Pro Bowler.
How the hell did they lose?
The only guy who was not a Pro Bowler was Sam Bradford.
Now, was he not also the impetus for the contract limitations for?
Yes.
He got 60 million or 45. I can't remember which one of his was.
It was a butt ton.
Yeah.
But looking back at this draft, holy crap, this draft was loaded.
Yeah.
Right? So you have Sue McCoy Williams, Eric Berry, whose career got cut short due to cancer, the safety out of Tennessee who went to the Chiefs. He went fifth. Then Russell Okung, sixth. Joe Hayden went seventh. CJ Spiller went ninth. Ryan Matthews, Chargers running back, went 12th. Brandon Graham, 13th. Earl Thomas, 14th. Jason Pierre-Paul, 15th. Mike Iupati, 17th. Marquise Pouncey, 18th. Demaryius Thomas went 22nd. Dez Bryant, 24th. Devin McCourty, 27th. That is an insane first round. And oh, by the way, Tim Tebow, he was the 25th overall pick.
That was the draft that made me put a hole in a wall.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Rolando McClain?
Mm-hmm. I've never been more infuriated by a draft pick in any sport than that one. I was so pissed.
Really, Darius Hayward Bay?
Well, Hayward Bay was worse, but it also... This was the year after that, and I was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so the 2010 draft was star-studded. It was loaded. And, boy, it brought out all of the feelings because it was the 75th anniversary of the NFL draft. So the NFL brought in legends from each team. And this is back when the draft was at Radio City Music Hall. And that's all anybody ever cared about. And they brought Lawrence Taylor, of all people, in front of a microphone. He was asked about his experiences.
Take us back to your draft day. What do you remember from the day that you were drafted?
I don't remember too much. I had 41 Coors Lights, so I couldn't tell you.
You remember 41?
Yeah, I remember 41.
You remember 41, but you don't remember what happened.
I don't really remember what happened. I just know it was an exciting time, but it wasn't like this. You know, it was old school, and it wasn't in New York or anything. I just caught it on TV like everybody else. So,
did you get a phone call? Did you have your family around you?
Excuse me?
Did you get a phone call? You had your family around you?
I had my drinking buddies with me.
Yeah, 41. Yeah, 41 beers probably isn't that much for a guy that could, you know, take down a kilo of Coke by himself.
I don't know. Even Wade Boggs is like, you know, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
I mean, he was the number two overall pick. So when did these 41 Coors Lights get taken down?
I mean, you start.
Do you think it was like before or after?
You're taking a few before, but it's definitely once you know where you go, it's on.
Now, I wanted some of the follow-up questions, but I couldn't find those. Of where were you? Mm. Were you at your home? He's from Virginia. Mm. Or was he in Chapel Hill? Was he in North Carolina? Yeah. He said he wasn't at the draft. Wasn't like this. I wonder where Lawrence Taylor was hammering 41 beers.
I hope it's on like the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
well, he needed back then you needed to be near a corded phone. Because
oh, yeah.
81 draft, dude. You need to be close to the phone. You didn't have a cell phone.
Well, look, once you get the phone call, you go outside.
I think the party was had by Lawrence Taylor and his drinking buddies, apparently.
Yeah.
Which probably his college teammates.
I would imagine.
That man had... Could you imagine what his career would have looked like had he taken care of his body like LeBron does?
Had he been sober?
Like you throw like a million... Well, you don't even have to be sober. Mm. I'm just saying like LeBron. Look, we know LeBron likes his wine.
Sure.
But if he were to spend $1 million a year on his body, what would he have been like?
Because he's the most single dominant wrecking force we've ever seen on that side of the ball.
Because the other side of that argument is, if he was like that, would he have been the same player?
Hmm. Yeah, because... I mean,
did the drug, sex, and alcohol fuel Lawrence Taylor, the player?
Was. Like, what was the movie, Any Given Sunday, where he chops the Hummer in half?
Yeah.
I don't think that's really that far off from the reality
of him. It's based on real events.
Yeah. Like, he was handling that saw like he's handled a chop saw before. Like,
yeah. Though, it's not advised to have one foot on each side of the car and split down the middle
as you're... No,
you
pick a side.
Yeah, you got to stay on one side or the other.
Yeah.
There's no good that's going to happen
when
you're standing
back,
on top of it.
Then you go, it's going to go right down the middle.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that story from Lawrence Taylor.
I mean, that's the most G-rated version. I would love to know what the actual story of that all was.
None of these current players can do that, though.
No.
Because they have cameras even at their homes. You know, remember Tua's house? Everybody's like, Tua's family lives in a damn log cabin?
Yeah, it's like, what's going on here?
It was a kick-ass house.
What's the over-under on college girlfriends being shown the door tonight?
Ooh. I think there's got to be an awareness factor. If you're an agent or a publicist, marketing manager for a player...
Unless that is the long time, if that's wifey,
yeah,
fine.
You've got to show them Jalen Waddle. You remember Jalen Waddle? Jalen Waddle got drafted. He was in the green room, and his whole family was like watching the TV. He stood up, did not hug a person, walked out of the green room. Like, he was just like, deuces. There was another receiver, I think he was an Alabama receiver, where he had his phone. Oh, no, it may have been CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb, yeah.
CeeDee Lamb, Oklahoma. He had his phone. His girlfriend tried to pick up. He was like, no.
Because,
he was
talking on one phone and had another one, like, on his leg or something, and she went to grab it, and he was like,
Those videos have got to be shown.
Mm-hmm.
You are not the one getting drafted here.
Oh, the Russell Wilson girlfriend?
Ex-wife now.
Yeah, the whole like, ah, we made money.
Ah, yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to see that. I can be a consultant to these people.
Yeah.
You know, to all of the players getting drafted. I can consult on how your family should behave.
The camera shot.
Yes.
Yeah, how you set it up.
It's got to be calculated. It's all part of the brand.
Like the guys that like sit at home in a suit on their couch. It's like, brother.
Yeah.
No.
I'm waiting for an Al Bundy offensive lineman. Let's
say, I love the offensive lineman because they're wearing sweats.
I want him in some gym shorts and a tank top, just
Crocs.
Sitting there pounding beers. Mm-hmm. And it's having a good old time. Wearing a trucker's hat.
Yeah.
Living his best life.
100%.
503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. I've drank more beer in a single sitting than I'd care to admit, but 41? Holy hell, that's scary.
41's a big number.
I did 24, but that was over the course of 12 hours.
Old LT. I wonder if that's like a fishing story, though. It gets a little bit bigger over time. You know, he's just like, yeah, it was a rack. It was a half rack. Then it was a rack. And now it's 41. He's like, I don't know.
I've done a couple case races and had a few more on top of that. But
polish mine off with a 22 pyramid Hefeweizen.
Oh, God. Why? Did you want to die?
College dumb.
Oh, God. Pouring a half on top of the rainwater.
And that 12 hours was midnight to noon. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
I'm going to lay out of this one.
What's the worst thing you've ever poured on top?
Poured on top?
Yeah. You've been drinking something all day and you poured something on top.
Or finished off, you know, your nightcap.
Oh, boy. This is a long list. Tuaca at the end of the night. That's done me dirty a few times.
That's my nightcap a lot of the time.
Yep. But not when you're taking it too deep.
Right.
A lot of the AMFs. Had a couple of teammates, like, they'd do the, remember the Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
Hypnotic and Hennessy. Yeah. They would, like, bring me one of those at the end of the night, and I'd be like, well, this is giving me a stomachache.
Mm-hmm.
Way too sweet at the end of the night. That's, so it's all sweet stuff.
It's all, yeah, I would say the one that always did me in, because I love tequila, is somebody would bring me like a double of tequila to throw down for the end of the night, not telling me that it was like the super crappy sugary tarantula or something like that. And you're just, I tip it back and I'm like, oh God.
All right. Yeah. It's never a good call.
Oh God.
Never
no.
a good call. All right. The NBA playoffs resume. Let's get to that. Cause we got a lot of hate and boy, we have had shade thrown before. This is new. Identifying who you're picking on
next
on the fan.